You know, my best friend Michelle and I have this thing that we do. You know, we like to build these virtual vacation. And we actually take some virtual vacation, especially when we're stressed and just needed to get away, but time doesn't allow it. So we plan these things and take some road trips and some flying trips virtually. Even though it's on our computers, it makes us feel happy just to be away. There's something about getting away that is good for the soul. In these weeks leading up to Easter, we have been on a soul-inspiring road trip, journeying through the Book of Psalms. But anyone who gets out to explore the Book of Psalms will feel that they are traveling, passing through scenes that are beautiful. They're passing through scenes that delights, and they're passing through danger. Some of them are not so beautiful. Some of them don't give you delight. As we discover in week one, the ancient people of Israel sang when they were traveling on their own road trips to the festivals, three festivals into Jerusalem. While the road trips are usually full of fun and relaxation, there are those moments when things just go sideways. Nothing seems to go right. Not all trips, if you agree with me, guarantee that you will be a full, happy experience. Not like we saw in the bumper. And occasionally, the best trips can be interrupted by unexpected delays and other not-so-good surprises. It always fascinates me to see how people react when the travel plans get awry. Have you ever been in the airport when a flight was delayed or canceled? We see all sorts of behavior. We see those who just flow with the delays. We see those who take the time to just catch up on their work, their reading, or take a nap. And then there are those others who get angry, downright angry. They're yelling at the agents. They're yelling at the pilots. They're yelling at anybody that's associated with the airline as if they had the control over the delays. You know, a friend of mine was sharing a story that when he was traveling, he watched a man scream and insult a gate attendant because his flight was delayed. As the angry passenger was on his way to the terminal, my friend was the next in line. So as he was putting the luggage behind, he said to the guy, "Wow, it's so amazing how you stay cool with that guy. I wish I could do that after being insulted that way." The agent just had this grin, this mischievous grin on his face and said, "Don't worry. His ticket says to go to California, but his luggage is going to Alaska." You gotta be nice. What's the lesson? Be nice to airline employees. So today we continue our road trip through the Psalms during Lent, and we interrupted our nice, smooth travel series to deal with an unpleasant reality. The first part of the series were filled with joyful news that God is our helper in our life journey, and we also see how God is our trustworthy guide through using the wisdom of his grace and giving us grace upon grace. It has been a refreshing trip so far, hasn't it? Through the Lent readings, those of you who are reading and studying. And then we come to Psalm 109, which is our psalm for today. It's perhaps the most bitter of all psalms. This psalm is in a collection classified as imprecatory psalms. The word imprecatory isn't a nice word. It comes from the Latin word imprecore, meaning to invoke evil toward someone. Ouch. These psalms are raw and honest, filled with rage, cries of vengeance, thoughts of payback, and words. In a word, they are ugly. You can't describe it any way else. But make no mistake, they are real. These were and are actual prayers of faithful people spoken and sung to a holy and perfect God. They don't hold back, ignore, or censor the fact that all of our emotions, of all emotions we face, the worst and most difficult one to deal with is anger. Psalms 109 is attributed to David, yes, to those whose journey through life was not always easy, and anger from within and anger from without threatened onto David's life all the time, from time to time. This is in full display in what we're about to look at today. Many scholars that even consider Psalms 109 un-Christian. We have theologian Walter Brueggemann, he even called 109 Song of Hate. We don't know who this hatred was directed at or when David actually wrote it, but maybe it was about King Saul, David's mentor turned mortal enemy. We simply don't know. The first few verses are set like an opening of a trial. David makes his case before God against an unnamed enemy in verses 1 through 4, and by naming the problem he's facing. Look with me at these verses. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. You have to admit, David is in a bad spot. Someone is spreading wicked and deceitful things about him. The lies hurt, especially considering they're coming from someone who is supposed to be his friend. David is eventually blindsided by this because he said, without cause. This slander that has taken on his life on its own, of its own. David is surrounded by whatever hatred has been unleashed his way. What a mess. We call it a royal mess. Have you ever been in that situation, a slander and lies and insults, people saying things about you, especially people that you're supposed to love and trust? I'm sure all of us have had that kind of experience at one time or the other. You know, whoever said that sticking stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me, I've never had someone make a dishonest accusation against them. David had lived in a violent time of history. He was a warrior familiar with battle who went and commanded armies. Yes, his greater pain came from not military bruises or physical injuries in battle. His greatest pain came from defamation and hurt words from a friend. Those hurt more than anything else. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you hurt by someone who was supposed to be your friend, who's supposed to love you? Have you ever been betrayed by someone who thought you could trust? I'm telling you, that hurts like a stab in the back. Maybe it is that you have been a victim of physical abuse or sexual abuse and you're still dealing with the pain. Maybe at some time or the other you were verbally berated and so much that the toxic message that was spoken over your life, the serious pain goes on. It still hurts. You take on that lie. I'm living in that lie that somebody spoke over your life and holding you back. Then let's not bypass those daily annoyances where this anger and can be experienced. Traffic, bills came piling up, deadlines, dealing with difficult people, the daily grind and more. These small things can pile up and leave us feeling frustrated and mad, and often manifest themselves in very unhealthy ways. You know what I'm talking about? You have heard me said before, life is a contact sport. We constantly bumping into one another, and at times these bump becomes bruises, or worse, they can even leave us broken. Things like slander, gossip, and rage only intensify these crashes, causing deeper wounds. We have seen this past year. One psychologist describes our country right now as being an incubator of anger. The American Psychological Association found that 60% of people they surveyed have had increased stress over the last year. I wonder why. We hear of families in house being cooped up in house and just yelling at each other over and over because they don't know what's happening. They have no outlets, and now they're forced. Before COVID, they were like dealing with it outside. They don't have to face. But now, cooped up together in isolation for a year, the yelling and all of that's coming out now. But let's get back to the Psalms and find out where David seeks help to deal with his anger. Before we go on, remember the last phrase in verse 4. After he's listing his complaint, he said, "But I am a man of prayer." As we read the next part, I urge you, I caution you, you better put on your seat belts, because David is going to vomit out very angry fantasy words. He's praying these words, as you will see, is quite creative in them. So look with me now at 6 through 15 as David unpack and just pour everything out to God, and he prays this. "Anoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. Then when he's tired, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take the place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow." He's serious with this complaint. "May his children be wandering beggars, and may they be driven from their ruined homes. May the creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on the fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquities of his father be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may not blot their names from the earth." I don't know about you. I have had some anger conversations in my head before. You know, if somebody that does something to me, I've had some in my head. But never have I hoped that my enemy's children be fatherless or beggars and nobody was kind to them. It is a whole level to pray that God blot out the name of my enemies from earth. That's some serious anger. That's some serious prayer. We don't rightly know who was speaking these harsh words, but we do know that he was not masking how he feels about his friend beyond who had betrayed him. Today, most of us wear a mask to protect us from COVID, but truth be told, we have been wearing a mask a long time, especially when it comes to a relationship with God. We go about our life thinking that we can hide our stuff from God. We go to God with our prayers, sanitizing that what we really think about others. We don't think we can trust God with our true stuff, our true self. Might as well you go and vomit it out to God, because he already knows. He already knows what you think in your heart, your true thoughts. In this moment, David is not trying to manage his anger towards his enemy. Instead, he's pouring out his real thoughts, even the worst thoughts, to God. David prays his thoughts. He doesn't post his thoughts. Amen? He doesn't choose to share these things with his friends, hiding from his friends and those around him. He's not going on Facebook and slander what he's really thinking instead of facing the person. He's praying it to God. Instead of his cursing his enemy, immediately goes to God. I was telling a friend, some friends last Sunday, I don't need to go head to head with those who come against me. I fight my battles on my knees. Because my mama used to tell me my knee should have calluses on it. So I stay down there and I fight my battles that way. God will deal with whoever comes against me. You know, and that just reminds me. Before, yeah, I was at one of the churches that I was at. They, you know, Bishop Carter always said there's always one in a church. But this one guy was making my time there living hell. Everything that comes, he has something to say, and it was a voice. His voice was louder than anybody else. It was like, I used to go home and like, oh, God, take this away from me. God, I don't want to do this anymore. And I would go back the next day, and I said, all right, I know how I'm going to deal with it. I did just like what Mama says. I go on my knees, and I pray his mouth shut. God, to shut his mouth. See, my husband, they ask him, come in the meetings every day, he has nothing to say. Always quiet till I left there and he came to my send-off to wish me well. I love him to death and I prayed his mouth shut. That's how we do it. I don't need to go and put myself in sin any further because we all sin. Let God take care of him in love, his own way. But God honored my prayer that day. Thank you, Lord. Now watch what happened next. David then leaves this issue in God's hands. As rough as this prayer is, for David in this moment is releasing his anger to God. Now look with me the change in these two verses as he leaves it up to God to deliver him. 20 to 22. May this be God's payment to my accusers. To those who speak evil of me, but you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. David gives this person and this pain over to God. He's not going to get even. He's going to leave it in God's hands. This, my friend, creates the space that opens David up to bring healing into David's soul. That's what happened to my friend in that other church, because he got healed in the end to come back to wish me well, almost in a place of sorry. Do you see how he concludes this rant with his personal and humble confession? My heart is wounded within me. Ah, there it is. Beyond the dramatic words, behind this innovative anger, we have a window into David's soul. He's upset. He's suffering. His friend has hurt him. His heart is wounded. When we take our anger to God, God help us know ourselves. He help us to know who we are. I am grateful. I'm a grateful Christian of a recovery from anger. For much of my life, I would attempt to stuff my anger until I could not take it any longer. When I couldn't stand it any longer, I would say the wrong things to people in rage. I can remember even one time when I was a teenager, my brother and I have the same anger issues. And we were at it one day, just go fight. I was so angry, I didn't know what to do with it. I went at him with a knife. Thank God I stopped because my anger blinded me in that moment. Years later, I needed help. And then Jesus became my therapist to help me through this. It's not gone. I just know how to handle it better. David pouring his heart out to God, sends out an outpouring of grace in David's soul. God helps David not only to name his pain, but also to begin his healing of this pain. As we were, the teaching team, we were pondering through this Psalm of David, we realized this is a time of prayer that frees us to live out in what is written that Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 12. He wrote to them and said, "Do not repay anyone for evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It is possible, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on your head. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good." In case you're wondering, this heap burning soul and is a loophole for, it's not a loophole for revenge. Instead, it's a symbol of repentance that we may come to God face to face with our evil. For as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't do evil with evil. It's talking about our sin. We deal with it with good. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. David knows this person of Jesus, and he knows that God is the only one who owns that revenge. Rather than seeking revenge for herself, what do you call justice to do on us? God would only deal with the justice in our life, injustice in our life. This is the Psalm where we see that David is allowed to be honest, to be raw with his emotions with God. And that is what God wants us from us anyway, to come to him raw, naked, in our humanness. And just, we're not just to go vomit it out to God, but we have to trust him. When we turn it over to God, we're going to trust him and leave it there that he may handle it any way that he wants to handle it, not the way that we want. I guess I was lucky I got what I wanted, but maybe it was in God's plan before. I'm just going to say that I don't have that power over God. Maybe that was God's power. I just activated it with my prayer. It's just a time to submit and relinquish it. Maybe when God says revenge is mine, it implies it's not yours. We can't just get upset with God when things don't come out the way we pray. You think about Jonah. You remember Jonah? He was angry with God for not dealing with the people that he wanted to do. He even went and said, "Let me die," and then he tried to manipulate God. But God had to show him that the way I go about justice is not always the way you expect it or like it. It is the justice that God alone owns, that what he allows. David eventually asked God for the posture of thankfulness, trusting God's faithfulness, compassion, and he prayed, "But I will give repeatedly thanks to the Lord, praising him to everyone, for he stands beside the needy, ready to save them from those who condemn them." Friends, we only go as far as we experience God. David had a deep relationship with God. He knows God, and he knows how God would handle his anger. He knows God, and because he had experienced this God with him. David knows the nature and personality of God, and because he has knowledge and experience of God, he knows that he can drop this long, berating curse in God's lap. He knows instinctively what God was going to do. He knows that God wouldn't come after him in retribution or slap him on the wrist. He knows that God could hold it. Plus, he knows that we know that he's God, he's have a heart of God. He trusts that he can put it out there and God will take care of it. That's what God is asking us to do with these things that come over. You put it to God. We don't try and take. We talk about the singing song, fight your battle. Let God fight your battles for us. That I would say to my friend, they come after me because they're not just coming after me. They have to come to God's army first. So come on. Come on. You can stand in front, take on God's army, come on. But then I can go to the Lord and say, listen, you better take care of this because it's your problem, not mine. I'm serious. This is God can handle that. We don't have to hold it on. Because when we keep our hand, a bottle up in us, it comes out ugly. And people are seeing this. This cannot be a person of God behaving that way. Our words hurt. Our actions hurt. This letter we talk about, that we're supposed to be a letter of recommendation to the world, that's our lives. God is inviting us to come and dump it on him. This is what the Psalms is telling us. You remember those? The end of verse 4 begins when, before David dropped this heap of curse, he said to God, I am a praying man. David is a man after God's own heart. So if he's saying that, he's going to be a praying man, go through all these people, make him angry with insults and slander. David, what he's doing, he's saying, I am interceding for them. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? Even as we bargain with Jesus with those prayers, do this for me, God, and I'll do that for you. Even as you turn our back on him, even as we deny him, even as we turn from his faith, even as we refuse to follow his commandment, he's saying, I am interceding for them. Even when they spit at him, beat him, he's saying, I am interceding for them. Even when they nailed him to the cross, he's saying, I am interceding for them. David is giving us an insight of what happens to Jesus. As we pray out, which we see will play out in Jesus Christ. We see it when Jesus is angry with the temple, people in the temple, when the people were disrespecting his father's house and taking advantage of the poor. Yes, Jesus is upset and he's angry. He goes to the garden, he's upset, he's depressed. He doesn't even want to go through it, dismayed by what Judas does to him. He's keep on walking to the cross anyway. He's determined to turn himself over anyway, even if they had to nail him to the cross as they mocked him and ridiculed him. I am interceding for them. I'm taking their place. Jesus does it because he knows when he does it, he says, I'm going to put it all my emotion, all that inside me, the burden I'm holding, carried, all that anger that's eating me out inside, I can give it to my Father. I can give it to God and know that it is okay. You know, when we think of ourselves as a ball of emotion, Jesus as a ball of emotion, I'm not talking about the divine Jesus, but I'm talking about the human Jesus. And David does the same thing. David takes the ball of emotions and he puts it in the hands of God and he said, it is going to be okay. The song we sing is right. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me in his hands. He's got our anger in his hands. Friends, this is a difficult prayer. David modeled for us this spectacular and liberating discovery. God can handle our ugly. This is the sermon in a sentence. Say that with me. God can handle my ugly. When the journey of life becomes difficult, leaving you hurt and angry, cry out to God. Take your complaints to God. God can handle your ugly. In the presence of the Lord, we find the love that we've been looking for, the deliverance that we need. And so David ends the psalm with these words. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you for holding big enough to be big enough to hold all of our the things that eats us inside, the things that we don't talk about, all the obstacles in our lives, in this case, the anger that stays and manifests itself, just keep brewing inside of us until it explodes, and they will no longer look like your beloved children. So Father God, we just ask you for forgiveness. We thank you, dear God, for being the Lord we can come to with our rawness, with the words that we want to say but don't know how to say, but God, you are a loving God. So thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for your sanctifying grace in and through us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to go through the entire, as much of this, the communion litany today, because I think it calls for us to just slow down and come into this space. So Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and ask to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ had died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is to give our thanks and praise. It is right, a good and joyful thing, always and in every way to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You form us in your image and breathe into us the breath of life. When we turn away and your love failed, your love remains steadfast. You deliver us from captivity, made a covenant with our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets and say, with your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join in the unending hymn. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. The Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time has come when you would save your people. You heal the sick, feed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism and the suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which you gave yourself up for us, you took the bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you.
Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for company for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty act in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You may take your bread online or here. The body of Christ given for you. Take it and remember to whom you belong. The cup of salvation, the cup that represents the new covenant for us. Drink, all of you. This is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.